I tell you what, it's really good to be in the house of God, isn't it? We don't ever want to take that for granted. Certainly don't want to take our Lord for granted. And it's just a blessing to get to preach here. I have really grown to love this church and everybody in it. I'm so thankful to be here. For a text, I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 and starting reading in verse 21. And there's so much that could be said about the birth of Christ. I preached all these subjects and all these texts, and I was telling preacher earlier, I preached on Simeon before, but I've not preached what I'm going to give you tonight. So please pray that God will have his way tonight. So if you found that, let's stand reverence in God's word, and we'll begin reading it. The Bible says this, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was named by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. By the way, that's the most humble, cheapest sacrifice that could be made. They go up from here. The word says in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel and of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to the Gentiles, and the glory of the people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary's mother, behold, the child is set for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I'd like for us to think on this subject for a minute. That is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. To truly, absolutely know him. What a time as we think about his birth and think about all that he's done for us. What a time to search our hearts just how well we know our Lord and Savior. Nobody's ever done for us what he's done. And we certainly need to know him very, very well. I thank God tonight for his word. I thank God tonight for his Holy Spirit, for him, the Holy Spirit. And we're without excuse tonight if we don't know him very, very well. And so I want us to consider that. Pray with me, please. Father, we've read your precious word. Oh, my. You've really dealt with my heart about all of this, and I want to thank you for that. What we've read tonight has become so special to me. And I want to ask you, God, to touch our hearts tonight, touch the heart of every believer here tonight in a very special way. And Lord, help us to draw close to you. Help us to see you maybe in a better light. Help us to know more of you. I pray, dear God, for us. I pray that we will leave here tonight seeking you with all of our heart, seeking the filling of your Spirit with all of our heart, seeking to be filled with your precious word with all of our heart, to know you. I pray for us, Father, if there be one here lost this evening, young or old, religious or not, if they're lost, I want to beg you to draw them to Jesus that they might be saved. Lord, I pray for myself. I pray that you'll speak through me now. Lord, you know I've studied. You know I've sought you. And I just pray now, Father, that you'll speak. Holy Spirit, you'll speak. The word will come forth with power and touch our hearts and do something for us. And we'll give you all the praise and honor and glory, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. As you think about Christmas time, I'm amazed at what Christmas means to different people. I'm amazed at how people celebrate the birth of Christ in our land today. And it's confusing to me. It's confusing to me to think about people having business parties and social parties, not Christian, secular, and how that they drink and get drunk and how they forget morality and how they just not even at all thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, drunkenness and all that goes on in the name of our Lord. And really, honestly, they don't think much about our Lord, but the season is about him. Merchandising of my Lord's birth just drives me absolutely insane. And I hate it. So many people, even believers, I remember as a young person, it was all about my gifts, what I was going to get. And we need to teach our young people that's not what Christmas is. And sometimes even us adults will think about it. It's all about family getting together. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with giving gifts and receiving gifts from one another, that we love one another, and being together as a family is a great and wonderful thing. But that's not what the season's about. It's just not. And so we need to take inventory, I think, about how we think about Christmas, how we really feel about the birth of Christ and about our precious, wonderful Lord. You know, it's an absolutely a great, exciting thing that God showed his love for us and left heaven and came down here and took on flesh. I was thinking today about him staying in Mary's womb for 9 months. Can you believe that God would do that for you and for me? It's something else. It's exciting to understand his love. It's exciting to get this thing in perspective. You know, no one but God could order out the things that we preach and teach here about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Man could never have contrived that God himself would become flesh, be born of a virgin. Man could never dream that up. Man could not even get close to that. If I were going to have him to come, it would be like he's going to come in his next coming, or riding the horse in victory. But he came, conceived himself by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. Stayed there 9 months, and then he went through childhood and all this stuff. And then he started his ministry, and he was rejected by the vast majority of people. Then the cross. And we know about the agony of the cross, but it's a big thing. Absolutely, he came to be born of a virgin, to die on the cross, and to shed his blood for you and for me. And I consider that a great thing. I certainly was not worthy for him to do that for me, and you weren't either. It's a big thing that Christ has done. And it's so important that we understand these things. It's the plan of God. And we've got to believe it by faith and receive it by faith. It's a wonderful thing. God didn't want it to be any secret. And God spoke to Isaiah and other prophets, and his birth was prophesied, and his death was prophesied. Pastor used the other day, and I think Brother Tom used it, but Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us his son is given," and it talks about his name. "The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." God didn't want any mysteries about his plan. He laid it all out for us. And it's such a wonderful, precious thing. He prophesied it. And then he announced it. The announcements of the birth of Christ are just awesome, astronomical. How he brought it all about. He wanted there to be no doubt that the Savior was born. He wanted everybody to know that Jesus was born. So you remember the angel came to Mary? And then the angel of the Lord, Brother Tom brought out, it came to Joseph. And then the angel came to the shepherds and told them where he was. Then the wise men had the star. God orchestrating all this about his birth. I contend it's just massive. Even the angel dealing with Zechariah and Elizabeth about John. You know, John's not an insignificant character in the Bible. He's big. He's all about the announcement of Jesus too. He announced his ministry. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And the Bible says in Luke 1:17, he's to make ready a people for the Lord. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God's at hand. I say to you tonight that the birth of Jesus was so very special. It's so very wonderful. His purpose he made known. He made known that he shall be great. He made known he'd be called the Son of the Highest. He was made known that he was to possess the throne of David and there'd be no end to his reign. But the greatest thing that was made known about his birth, that he shall save his people from their sins. The greatest thing. The Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He did that. He wanted us to understand. Boy, the birth is all about our being saved. It's not for him, it's for me and for you. I read to you in this text about a man, Simeon, and God even announced the birth of Christ to Simeon. It was on the eighth day. That we don't know exactly what day he told him this, but he told him that he wasn't going to die until he saw the Lord's Christ, until he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't going to die. I believe personally that he was an elderly man. But he knew the Lord was soon to come because God told him. I think it's a wonderful thing that God speaks to man. What do you think? I think it's a wonderful thing that he has spoken to us through his precious word. It's a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit touches our heart. It leads us in the ways of God and teaches us the precious word of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that touched his heart that he wasn't going to die until he saw the Lord. My goodness, I got to thinking, you've been preaching on the end times, I got to thinking, what would it be like if God would touch our heart that we're not going to die until the Lord comes? Now, I don't know about you, but that'd stir me up, buddy. I would be absolutely on cloud nine if God touched my heart and I'm going to see the rapture for sure. Now, this is just that kind of event, that he's going to see the Lord. Now, God describes this man to us in this text. I think I misread this text before. I'm not sure. I didn't go back and find any old notes, but I believe with all my heart that I may have preached this man to be a priest. And if you think he's a priest, I'm not going to argue with about it. But what God says he is, he's a man in Jerusalem. He's a man in Jerusalem. And he went into the temple to see Mary and Joseph, a man in Jerusalem. It says something else very, very profound about him. He's just. And he's devout. Oh, that God would touch us and make us to where he could say about us that we're just and that we're devout. Church attendance is dropping like a rock in America. That's because nobody's devout. Huh? Soul winning's getting to be a thing of the past. That's because nobody's devout. Scriptural giving is almost a thing of the past because nobody's devout. Amen. This man was just. What does that mean? This man was saved. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. That word consolation means comfort, comforter, comfort, the comforter of Israel. Waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. This man's a Jew. This man's believing the Messiah is coming and believing in the Messiah. He's looking forward to it. I look back at it. It's the same belief. It's the same faith. He'd never seen him, but now he does. I've never seen him, but somebody has. Others have. And I believe he's real. He believed he was coming. Excuse me. And I believe he has come. And I believe he's died for me. I know he has. I'm not talking about something I hope. So here we have a man that's saved. He's an Old Testament believer. I'm a New Testament believer. Believing in the same Lord. Same Savior. I tell you, it's an awesome thing we see here. Awesome thing. Hey. God speak to his heart. Not going to die until he sees the Lord's Christ. The Lord's anointed. Jesus is the anointed Son of God. Now this is something. Wow, this is great news. This is an exciting thing. Now see this thing. He's not in the temple. He's waiting. He knows he's coming. God has said so. And the Bible says in verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. So this is a man of God. This is a man that loves God. This is a man that has a tremendous promise from God that he's going to see the Lord. So he goes in, and this really gets me. If he's just a man, like it says here, a man in Jerusalem, and he goes in, and here comes in Mary and Joseph, and they got this baby Jesus. And I can't find evidence here that they said, this is Jesus the Christ. I think he knew him when he saw him. Because of God in him, Holy Spirit in him. Can't you just imagine the Holy Spirit saying, that's him? wow, yeah. That's sort of like the trump, huh? And the shout of God, wow, that's him. So the thing that amazes me is not just that, but that Mary and Joseph, they know who he is. And they're holding him, and they're just going to hand him over to this man. And they just hand him over. Huh? They just hand him over. And there he stands. And I just get a little shivery inside when I think about holding Jesus. Now, I want you to understand, I believe with all my heart this is an absolute picture of having intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he's holding his Lord and Savior in his hand. Can't you just feel his heart? Can't you just feel the joy that he has? Can't you just feel the excitement? He's here. The one I've been waiting for years and years and years. I got him. He's here. Back to what we're talking about. If he tell us he's coming. We've been waiting for him. I've been waiting for him since I was 8 years old. I've been waiting for him to come. But that's not the big point. The big point is this relationship that he's got with God and that he's got with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what his response was? We read it. He's holding Jesus. He knows who he's holding. He knows what he's up to. He prophesies what he's going to do. He knows what this is. And he says, bless God. Bless God. He worships God. Bless God. Worship. Worship. He worships God. It's a wonderful thing to know him in an intimate way and just love on him with all your heart. Just love on him and love on him and love on him and submit to him to love on him. I really honestly think that our worship ought to mature to the place that it'd be like that heavenly host with the shepherds. Man, they were having the time of their life worshiping God, praising God, calling out what he is and what he was going to do. Whole angels and the whole host of heaven. I don't know what there's all of them, but it was a mass of them. And they're just shouting it out and glorifying God for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Simeon just sums it up and says, bless God. Oh, could we ever come to the place that we just bless God? It's not all about us. It's all about him. Worship. Those angels said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. The peace of God. Oh, my goodness. Worship, worship, worship's all through the Bible. Worship with all our heart. Love on Jesus with all we are. I believe the greatest worship that we can do to him is to be that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I believe the greatest thing we can say to I love you is take our hands off ourselves and live for him. Let him live our lives in us. I believe that. And I'm trying to say tonight, I believe that it would be very possible for you and I as born again believers to have this relationship that Simeon had. I believe we can possess the Lord. I believe we can have much more than we know. I believe we can have his fullness. I believe we can know his power. And I believe we can know so much more about him if we had asked God to show him to us through his precious word. And the more we know about him, the more we're going to worship, the more we're going to want to please him, the more we're going to love him. I just believe Simeon is a great example of a devout believer being blessed with the presence of God. And I can be a devout believer, and you can, and we believers, we can be blessed with the presence of God all the time. The presence of God. That's what Simeon is holding. We don't want to get caught up in this world system. I've been there. We don't want to get caught up in business. We don't want to get caught up in life without God's will being done in our life. And without this great knowledge of him, worship. Oh, it's good to praise him. It's good to tell him we love him. It's good to love him enough to keep his commandments. It's good just to submit. It's good to let him be Lord. He must be Lord, right? I don't believe Simeon had any problem with acknowledging his Lord. He proved it. He proved it. He said to the Lord, "Now let us, thou servant, depart in peace according to thy word." Now there's not a one of us in here that don't consider our life very valuable. Our breath, our being. There's not a one of us that God hadn't put within us the desire to live. It's created in us. It's natural. It's okay to have that desire. But here's a man holding the Lord, and he believes the promise of God that he wasn't going to die until he saw the Lord Christ. And now he's seen him. And now he's ready to go. This is the Prince of Peace he's holding. Now we've all dealt with death, right? None of us have yet died. I think it's very good for every believer to get close to death. To wonder how it's going to turn out with you. It'll bring out some of you to you. But here he is, holding the Lord. And he said, "Lord, you said I'd do this before I died, and I judge now I'm going to die, so I'm ready." That's really what he's saying. I'm ready. Absolute peace about this thing of death. I had often wondered how I would react if I ever had a heart attack. And I often wondered how I'd react when the doctor told me I had cancer. And every time, both times, I just had peace. I think that's an awesome thing. I'm not trying to tell you I'm more spiritual than anybody else, but we ought to have this relationship with God to where he has control of me. Do you realize he gave you your life? Now the birth of Jesus is very special. It's very unique. I got to thinking about my birth. I guess the doctor told my mom I was coming. My dad. Not too many people knew I was coming. But I had absolutely nothing to do with my birth. How about you? Nothing. I don't even remember it. Do you? Had nothing to do with my birth. Jesus had everything to do with his birth. Everything. He left heaven to be born. It's unique. Very special. Just like he is unique. And very special. Now we've got to get a hold of this thing about dying. For literally, you and I do not know which one's next. We don't know who's next. Pastor talked during the last couple of weeks about he thought we might have a funeral, and that's always on a pastor's heart. I don't know about you. If you're a born-again believer, you need to have this peace this man had. I've said it before, death to the believer, especially to the devout believer, is going to be the most glorious, precious thing we have ever experienced. It's going to be better than getting saved. And we ought not be dreading it. We ought not. Really, we ought to be saying, even so, Lord, come quickly. That's about the rapture, but whatever he wants, as a believer, I want. Oh, my. You see, Jesus shed his blood, born to die, born to shed his blood, born for Calvary, born for his death and his burial and his resurrection, born for you and born for me and born for every other person on planet Earth, and died for us, every person on planet Earth, that we might not have to go and be judged for our sin in hell. You don't pay for your sin in hell, you're judged for it forever and forever and forever, tormented day and night. That night, there's no day there. Night and that, night, night, night. In the bottomless pit, falling in darkness and pain and agony. I got to thinking the other day about hell and what a person thinks the minute they hit hell. You ever chased that rabbit? What's the first impression of hell? And I had this thought. Those Christians were right. And I had this thought after that. Screams just erupt. Screams of torment. Scream it aloud at the top of their voice. Oh! They were right. Jesus died so we don't have to go there. He died so we could have everlasting life and live with him. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, and I love this, there you may be also. I'm going to be where he is. Are you going to be on the new earth or the new heaven? I'm going to be where he is. I think I'm going to be in the new heaven, but I think I'm going to be wherever he's at. That's what he says. The Apostle Paul really had it on his heart when God told him to pen 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 8. We are confident. We are confident, the Bible says. I say willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We need that. We'd rather be with the Lord. Had you rather be with the Lord than to be here? I'm not trying to be morbid. That ought to be our heart. We ought to love him so much for what he's done for us. Coming here and dying for us. My goodness gracious. We got to believe all this. If you're born again, get close enough to him. Hold him in your arms. Hide this book in your heart so that you'll know him. Be you filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with the wine wherein they said, but be you filled with the Spirit. Get God. Full God. Brother Marcus, you got it? I'm after it. I want it. I want all he'll give me. I do. That'll allow me to worship him with a pure heart. That'll allow me to be a living sacrifice, holding something to him. That'll allow me to have absolute peace about going to be with him. Peace from the Prince of Peace. It's an awesome thing. The requirement is you must be born again. It starts with being forgiven. It starts with believing with all of one's heart what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's called the Son of God. He's the one that was the pure Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He died on Calvary's cross. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've got to understand all this. I think it's a very rare thing when a group of people meet like we're meeting and everybody there is absolutely saved. I think it's a very rare. He told Nicodemus, a religious man, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. He's serious about that. He's serious enough to have died for you and for me. It's so important that we understand this. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. That terrible place, hell, I just briefly mentioned. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's not willing that any should perish. It's a blessing. Who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Preacher preaches about things we're choosing to be saved and lost, and he died for everybody. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You'll never hold him. You'll never have the relationship with him. You'll never know his fullness until you get truly biblically born again. Hey, we're not playing church. We got to be about the business of God. We got to be honoring and glorifying the precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, Simeon says, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which he hath prepared before the face of all people. He understood. A light to lighten the Gentiles. That's me, you. He's the light of the world. He's the light that will shine in our hearts and life and bring us out of the darkness of sin. The light unto the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He later on predicts the fall in the glory of Israel. Israel's going to be saved in the tribulation. But boy, they've fallen. They've rejected him now. You see, we've got to understand this thing. He says, nay, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Turn in from sin. Turn into the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he came as born of a virgin, believing that he died on the cross, believing that he rose again the third day according to Scripture, believing with all your heart what he says about us, that we are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Jesus said, no man cometh to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up the last day. You don't just be driving down the road whistling in sin, decide, well, I better pray and get saved. God's got to draw you. It's a wonderful thing when God visits us. When God touches our heart that we're lost. God touched this man's heart and he listened and he obeyed. God touched my heart about being lost. And buddy, I knew I was in trouble with God. And I knew the gospel and I wanted to be saved. And I believed he would save me. And I asked him to save me and he saved me. He wants me to have this relationship with him that Simeon had. He wants me to understand that my life is all in his control and his power. Now let us, thy servant, depart in peace, according to thy word. Peace that passes all understanding. Lost people don't know anything about it. Only saved people know the peace of God. Listen to what someone wrote about death. It says, can make our dying bed feel soft as downy pillows are. While on his breast we lean our head and breathe our life out sweetly there. That's this thing Simeon had. Laying his head over on the breast of the Lord and willing to go right on right then. Bible doesn't tell us when he died, but he's ready to die, willing to die. A devout man, a saved man. I'm going to try to close. I want to ask you to make sure you know the Lord. I want to ask you for 100% sure, are you, that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You remember the minute that you cried out to him and he saved your soul? It's so important. It's so important. We'll never love him until we're saved. We love him for saving us. And then we love him for who he is. It comes with salvation. Sometimes we believers then, we let things kind of steal away our love. We let physical things, trials, tribulations, persecutions, whatever. Sometimes it's greed. Steal away our love for God. If you don't love him with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, body, all this spirit, listen, you got to get that settled. And you got to know this peace that Simeon had. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Death is imminent. We got to have this peace because we have this intimate relationship as believers. And we've got to have the peace of God because we've received him as a Lord and Savior. So I invite you to examine your salvation. Make sure it won't hurt anything. Make sure you're saved. Not trying to get you to be resaved. That's impossible. But make sure you truly have been born again. You're not doing your best to serve God. You're living in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you're truly saved, I invite you to ask him to let you hold him. To let you know him like you've never known him before. You realize if you're saved, you realize he's bigger than you think. He's bigger than I know. And I want to know that bigness. And I can. And you can if you're a believer. So how devout are you? Not being devout really hinders all this, doesn't it? Really does. Let's all stand, bow our heads, please. Oh, this man, just a man in Jerusalem. Just a man. Jesus died for mankind, just men. So how's your relationship with him? Father, I pray for us. I pray for myself. I pray, dear God, that we would know you. And to know your fullness, to be filled with your spirit, to be filled with your word and hide it in our heart, that we may know you. Show us yourself. If there be one lost here this evening, show that one. Draw them to Jesus. Convict their hearts. Let them come be saved. But I pray we believers too will do business with you. We need more of you. I know we do. I do. And so I ask you for it. In your wonderful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.